Yeah, I just think that people wanted to listen to hear what was going on.
Okay, Kathy, we'll record the teleconferences. Do you want to request copies of those?
That'd be a good idea.
Closed committee substitute for House Bill. Who wished to testify, Nikki, and if... And if you could send it to us on the Omnicom, the name that is, that would be just great. Could you handle that?
We can do that, Anchorage Clerk.
Thank you, Nikki. And Maxine or Tammy in Fairbanks, this is Deborah in Juneau. We've got to have another way.
Deborah, this time I have Ralph Hoover, who does wish to testify. He's the only participant.
Okay, thank you, Tammy. Tammy, do I sound okay?
We are going to take Mr. Bob Lodgett as our first witness, and then they will go in the order that we previously gave you. Mr. Lodgett does have a time constraint.
Okay, Bob Lodgett.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bob Lodgett, a teller, Alaska. I'm the general manager of Muckluck Telephone Company with headquarters in Village of Teller. We represent a service area from 7 St. Michael, Sheck, Cooley, Clark, Elam, Goblin, White Mountain, Teller, Brevig, Meals, Mission, Wales, Diomede, and Shishmaref. We had recently had the good fortune to receive funding from the REA, funding that we had pursued for 4 years before a loan approval. With the new administration and the austerity program, instead of cutting foreign aid, they've cut the services to American people. And one of these services is funding for REA telecommunications in rural areas of America. Now, they were long-term, low-interest loans, ranging from, well, all those loans are 35-year loans. Your bill, and I can see an awful lot of work has gone into it, committee substitute for House Bill 165 on Labor and Commerce, provides for 30-year funding at whatever the interest rates are on revenue bonds. Since in excess of 70% of the revenues of the state of Alaska are generated out of our Senate district, Senator Ferguson's district, I think that we have a pretty strong talking point to seek to influence the legislature to provide low interest financing for community development in rural areas. This legislation is most certainly a step in the right direction. I wasn't comfortable with the original bill. Then, of course, I know there's one company in Alaska that has 7 registered lobbyists that weren't working in the best interest of the people in sparsely populated areas. And we cannot afford to have a registered lobbyist, let alone 7. I don't know quite how I'd handle it if I was one of the members of the legislature today to have 7 lobbyists in one company breathing down my neck. At any rate, I would like to make a suggestion to the committee, and I note that our representative, Jack Fuller Nolman, is present. I note that this program is to be handled under the Alaska Public, or under the Alaska Power Authority. And last year, Representative Fuller was successful in getting a $50,000 grant for the village of Brevik Mission to help put electric power in that village in cooperation with the Bering Street School District. That $50,000 grant has been bogged down in the Alaska Power Authority through their administrative red tape. And so the project really isn't off the high center yet. I have been working very closely with President Mission Council, and we're getting it going with the assistance of a Alaskan consulting engineer out of Anchorage. I would most certainly recommend, gentlemen, that the administration of this program remain in the Department of Commerce, certainly. But I don't necessarily endorse it being handled by the Alaska Power Authority. What with severe attention being placed on hydroelectric projects, with them having some $500 million to spend on hydro projects, I think that this little program here might get swept under the rug. I think there's a different way of handling it within the Department of Commerce. Perhaps through the Alaska Development or Industrial Bond Authority, perhaps. I've talked with some of those people there, and they're very knowledgeable, very receptive, and they seem to move with efficiency and dispatch. And I like that. That's my way, too. I hope these few cogent remarks that I've had an opportunity to make here today will help. I do live in the voice. We do not get to participate in the teleconference without traveling. I travel to Nome to testify, and today I was in Anchorage on business and had it on my calendar to come, and I thank you for your courtesy. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, Bob, this is Chairman, and I want to assure you that there's lobbyists and there's legislators down here, and your best lobbyist for the interest down here in Juneau is your legislator, Jack Fuller, and I'll recognize him at this time.
Bob, we too are all concerned about the not being able to take advantage of the REA, and I'll pursue the suggestion you have. We're all concerned in the bush that these big hydroelectric projects that are going to go through, that we are not forgotten, and we're certainly working on it. But I'll also check out that Brevig Mission thing again. You know that I've been down there and on it with you, and there was a lot of hang-ups, but I will pursue that. But I'll check out your idea of you suggested the Industrial Bond Authority or whatever. I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'll get on it.
Thank you very much, Jack. I know you will.
Okay. Thank you, Bob, very much for your comments, and they were well taken, and we'll go on to the next.
We'll go to Dillingham now, and I have a Mr. David Booker in Dillingham, the manager of the Nishiak Telephone Company. Is that correct?
Yes, Dave Booker here.
Go ahead, David.
Thank you very much. My name is Dave Falker. I'm the manager of Nishiak Telephone Cooperative and Nishiak Electric Cooperative here in Dillingham. and both of these cooperatives are REA financed cooperatives. At Nooshigak Telephone Cooperative, we feel that a program such as envisioned by the committee substitute for House Bill 165 will go a long way toward solving Alaska's growing communication needs, which are quite magnified over great distances between communities and needed services. Concerning this particular legislation, there are several areas that we would like to comment on. The first one, under eligibility for the loans, I believe that's on section 2, page 3 of the copy of the committee substitute that I have here. I believe that section 2 should be expanded to read that at the time of application for a loan, it is serving the public under a certificate of public convenience and necessity issued by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, or has applied for a certificate for the specific area that loan funds are to be expended for, and that no loan funds will be advanced until the utility has been certified by the APUC to serve that area. And the reason I bring this up is that there are at least two cases, and I'm sure that there are more within the state, that where there have been problems in this area. For example, there are two utilities which have duplicate services running down the same street. One of them is an REA financed utility, and the other one is a municipal. And this hit the headlines a few years ago, and it's the consumers that ultimately pay for that sort of duplication. The other case that I can think of is right here in Dillingham, the Nooshigak Telephone Cooperative serves not only Dillingham and Kanaknak, but also the village of Alegnagik. And we did have a utility file with the Alaska Public Utilities Commission for permission to serve the village that we were already serving, Alegnagik. And since then, that problem's been taken care of, but the way this bill reads, I believe it does open the door to possibly duplication services. I think that this concept will help to eliminate disputes over service areas, preserve territorial integrity of existing utilities, and also, by virtue of the fact that if it needs APUC approval, it'll provide the forum for public input. And number two, that presently unserved communities should be granted priority consideration over presently served communities where applicable. My concern in this area is that there is such a wide divergence in size between telephone utilities in the state that the larger utilities could eat up the $40 million or whatever it is that has been allocated toward this revolving loan fund. There is one case that I'm familiar with where a subsidiary of the fourth largest telephone company in the United States received a $6 million 2% loan from REA at the same time that the Nooshigak Telephone Cooperative was having a hard time trying to get $880,000 out of REA at something in excess of 5%. So I guess what I'm concerned about is that the smaller communities may be overlooked in a loan program such as this. And I think that I would also agree with Bob Blodgett that we should probably consider removing this from the aegis of the Alaska their overwhelming interest in hydropower at this time. The last item I have is that the Alaska Power Authority and possibly the Alaska Public Utilities Commission be expanded to include directors representing rural areas and also directors who have utility expertise. At the present time, I don't believe that there are any state commissions or boards who are involved in the energy program or in communications who have rural representation or representation in the commissions and boards with utility experience. I believe that directors with these qualifications could probably provide some pretty valuable input that would go a long way in helping to narrow the communication gap between public needs in competing areas while lending some degree of knowledge about specific problem areas that are so lacking on present-day state energy-related boards and commissions. That's all that I have at this time, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify. I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Yeah, David, this is the chairman again. You brought up some real valid points here on this convenience and necessity that I concur. Also, the point you brought up on the priority basis is very good. We can insert that into a letter of intent and along with the bill here, and I think that's very very important point right there.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, if there's no further questions here, we'll move right along. Thank you very much for your testimony, David.
Okay, proceeding in alphabetical order, I'm going to go to Fairbanks now, and I believe we have Ralph Hoover from Tanana Chiefs. Mr. Hoover?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and Mr. Chairman. This is Ralph Hoover from the Tanana Chiefs Conference, and but first, Jim Mulvius of the Fairbanks Municipal Utility System is here and listening to the proceedings, and unfortunately he had to leave. However, he said he had put his inputs in already to the Alaska Telephone Union, and he is in support of the bill as it is in general. For myself, the Tanana Chiefs Conference wishes to support the bill for reasons that probably everybody knows that are overwhelming. The reason the bill was created, and we're in the business of providing mental health as well as government services, etc. And of course, the there are many problems with just the one phone in the village and the way it's presently going now for whatever reason under Alaskom. The smaller villages are not getting any attention at all, and this bill may possibly provide a vehicle for doing that. And we have the same concerns as the two previous speakers. Number one, APA may not be the agency to administer it. And number two, the larger companies or even the more urban areas or larger villages will be getting the giant share of the money and the smaller villages not able to act. I understand that there are some new switches that are quite reasonable and that the cost and the maintenance problems can probably be fairly low in either case because of these new switches. And I think that it's at least worth a try. I guess nothing is guaranteed, but I do believe that the villagers, if the switches are, as I understand, in the price range that I understand and the amount of maintenance it takes, I think that the villagers can and would pay for the service. And that's, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. And I don't think there's any questions. We appreciate your comments, and we'll move right along. Thank you very much.
The next slide on my list is Haynes, and I believe we have Leo Land. Mr. Land?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I was just glancing through the bill, and I'm all for it. I did run into two places in the bill that started ringing alarm bells to me. On page 3, line 13 through 17, the loan to a public telecommunications utility under Alaska statute so-and-so may not exceed $5 million and shall be secured by collateral equal in cost or in fair market value, whichever is less, to at least the total amount of the loan. That's what kind of gets me. Some of those real small villages say they have 500 people, and maybe they need more money to even put the system in than they can come up with on a loan. The other section, it's on the, starts on page 3, the bottom line, but over on page 4, line 7 through 11, to facilitate an economic feasibility study, the authority shall require the applicant to furnish system study, long-range economic forecast, financial data, and other technical information which the authority considers necessary. I can't see anyone, even our own state or federal government, given long-range economic forecasts. They could make up anything on account of people moving in or out to those small villages. So I think some of the requirements there might freeze them out, Mr. Chairman. I just thought I'd bring that to your attention, was all. And that's all I have to say. I appreciate any comments.
Now, thank you, Leo. Mr. Chairman, again, we discussed that at the last committee quite extensively on this bid on collateral and the fair market value. It seems that the points you brought up have to be done to a certain extent by REA now to get those fundings, and since the state's going to be holding this, they, in some cases, they won't have first call on the mortgage, and that's the basic reason for some of those.
I have nothing further to say, Mr. Chairman. Thank you again.
Thank you, Leo, for your comments, and we'll move right along with the next witness.
Okay, I've gone through the list once, and everybody else I have on, except for the people in Anchorage, are observers at this time, so I shall return to Anchorage, and we'll call upon Alice Van Tile from the Calista Corporation.
This is Wally and Bethel.
Go ahead, Bethel.
Thank you, Jack. I have one additional witness, Myron Danning.
Myron Danning. Thank you.
So N-A-N-E-N-G.
Okay, thank you, Wally. How about if we go to Anchorage now and go to Alice Van Tile?
with Calista Corporation. I've been asked to read a message from Martin Moore, president of Calista Corporation, who was unable to attend. And the following is his message. House Bill number 165 creates a telecommunications revolving loan fund for telephone companies to borrow funds for new and improved telecommunication systems. This loan fund is needed to provide a source of financing for Alaska telephone companies since the federally supported REA loan programs are being significantly cut back by the Reagan administration, and also since long-term commercial financing is not available to most Alaskan companies serving remote villages. Only 12 of the over 40 villages in United Utilities certificated area in the Calista region now have residential phone service. Establishment of this loan program will provide a source of financing for United Utilities to bring residential phone service to these villages. These villages now have only a single Alascom telephone, which is unreliable and does not meet the need of the village's needs. Telephones are needed by the residents of these villages, one, so that the people can communicate with each other within the village and with others outside their villages in order to order supplies, contact medical, educational, and law enforcement authorities, and to contact loved ones. Two, telephones help to save transportation and fuel costs. Three, telephones are needed to improve the overall quality of life and aid development in remote and isolated villages. United Utilities has done an exceptional job at establishing telephone service in 12 villages in the Calista region. The Calista Regional Corporation strongly supports the passage of House Bill number 165, since it will provide a source of financing for United Utilities to bring telephone service to the more than 30 other villages that so desperately need service. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your comments very much. They're certainly in order. And we're going to move this bill forward order, so hopefully it'll pass. Thank you very much for your comments.
Well, now I go back to Bethel, and we have Myron and Manny. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Go ahead, Myron. Myron.
Okay, this is Myron Nang. I'm from Bethel, and I'm speaking on behalf of the support of House Bill number 165. The bill would enable United Utilities, which is certified to serve a lot of villages out in Calista AVCP region, to be able to put phones house to house rather than the one phone system that most of the villages have presently. With my experience with the one phone system, it's very uncomfortable to try and contact a person in a village to let them know that they have a job or that we want to call them in for an interview whenever there's a job available here in Bethel. And the installations of phones in the village, which would be more than one, will enable us to contact a lot of the people that we want to contact out in the villages and be able to be contacted by those in the villages that need some information. And also the one phone system operates only for about 8 hours a day because of the high bills that the villages have to pay for that one phone service. The availability of phones within the village itself will enable the businesses to follow up with whatever their business is, like ordering supplies or even contacting key personnel outside of the village of their needs and their concerns to ably run their business. And I would support House Bill number 165 without any amendment by Alascom. I know that if Alascom is listening or if their representatives are around, they are going to try and add to the bill by amending it to make it even difficult for a lot of utility companies to borrow money from the state. So I strongly recommend that the House, that the bill is passed without any amendments made by Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Myron. Your comments are very good, and we certainly appreciate them. If the committee has any no further questions, we'll move right along here. Thank you very much, Myron.
You know, this is Ketchikan.
Go ahead, Ketchikan.
Yes, Glenn, we would like to testify when you want to get Ketchikan again.
Okay, I'll cross observer out by his name. I'd like to remind all stations I have received only 3 messages from via the Omnicom, and I am unable to check for any more because I am busy moderating. I've received 3 messages from Dillingham, Fairbanks, and Anchorage, and that's it. So at this time, I'm going to go back to Anchorage and take Earl Land from the Interior Telephone Company, I guess. Mr. Land?
Thank you, Jack. Mr. Land is approaching the microphone now.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Interior Telephone supports this substitute for 165. We feel that it's very necessary for the growth and service to people such as we have. We presently serve an area from Fort Yukon out to Dutch Harbor on Alaska with 9 exchanges. And we're in the same boat as other small rural telephone companies. We are having problems with REA funding. We, of course, agree with Bob Blodgett and the others who spoke on the concern of this bill being under the Alaska Power Authority. We feel that the Alaska Power Authority is a very good operating authority, but has main interest in power, and that possibly the administration could be better served under another section of commerce. We are very close to our customers and understand the urgency that they need the service we're presently holding and trying to build for them. And we're like United or other utilities here that have quite a few held orders that we just can't expand to at this time without low-cost loans. I have great hopes for this bill that it would be expediently passed this year, and I have no further comments other than answer questions.
Okay, thank you, sir. We are going to change the agency that this goes through, so your comments will order. Thank you very much, and we'll move right along. Again.
We should go to Ketchikan now, and we'll do Glenn Mood in Ketchikan.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate this opportunity to be a witness. My name is Glenn Mood. I'm the telephone superintendent for the Ketchikan Public Utilities, which is owned by the city of Ketchikan. First of all, I would like to make it clear that we are in favor of the intent of this bill. It's an excellent bill. However, like most, there are a few questions or changes we would like to see put into it. First of all, I will certainly echo the comments by earlier witnesses that the Alaska Power Authority is not the agent to handle this. From local practical experiences, we find that telecommunications has a low priority. In other words, power is always the predominant factor. separate commission be established to handle these loans. This could be made up of individuals within communities and a group of individuals representing various facets of the telecommunications industry. This way, I believe the telecommunications would be given 100% consideration rather than an afterthought. Our second concern on the bill as it's written would be, we feel, the funding from the state of Alaska should be the first source of funds rather than after private or federal lending institutions have been explored. I think the intent is to provide low-cost money to telecommunications people within the state. We also feel that the state should feel they are obligated to fund these projects as a public service in that effect. Another small problem we have with the bill as it's written would be the interest rate. I think that section could possibly be rewritten or perhaps even clarified to a more fixed rate. I wouldn't exactly at this time come up with a rate. However, the way it's written is very flexible, and it really doesn't give us a handle on what to expect if these loans were made. Other than that, I don't think we would have any more comments at this time. Is there any questions?
Okay, thank you, sir, very much. We took all of your interest rates for some of the questions. Thank you very much, and any questions? Okay, thank you very much, and appreciate your comments. We'll move on to another one.
Go back to Anchorage now, and I have Nicholas Nanning from United Utilities Incorporation.
Thank you, Jack. Please put it in the microphone.
Jack, this is Wally, and we do have an additional witness.
Thank you, Wally. I will be getting back to all stations while we're finished, so please stand by.
I'm here. My name is Nicholas Nanning. I'm chairman of United Utilities, and I'm here on behalf of Association of Village Council Presidents, which has passed a resolution number 81-04-01, and it reads, whereas over 25 villages in the Yukon, Kuskokwim, Delta region now have only a single phone to serve the communication needs of the entire village. Whereas this telephone owned and operated by Alaskom Incorporated has been unreliable, unaccessible, and an inadequate attempt to provide an acceptable level of service. Whereas basic residential telephone service is desperately needed to assist in the economic development of rural Alaska to improve the quality of life for native Alaskans. Whereas United Utilities, a native-owned utility, is now providing residential phone service to 12 villages and plans to extend this service to these villages with only a single Alaska phone. Whereas United Utilities has done an exceptional job at providing a quality level of service, securing participation by village residents in the company's planning, and training local people as telephone company representatives. Whereas the Reagan administration has proposed substantial reduction in the REA loan program and commercial financing, if available, is at exorbitantly high rates. Whereas House Bill 165 creates a telecommunications revolving loan fund that would provide a source of low-cost financing United Utilities to install residential phones in the villages represented by the AVCP. Whereas the AVCP strongly supports United Utilities efforts to provide residential phone service as soon as possible to this village having a single phone. Therefore, be it resolved that the AVCP requests Governor Hammond and the state legislature to pass the House Bill 165 as expeditiously as is possible to ensure that low-cost financing is available this year to install residential telephone systems. And it's signed by Edward Hoffman, Sr., AVCP Board Chairman, and Timothy W. Hoover, AVCP Board Secretary.
Okay, thank you, Nicholas. Would you send a resolution on to the Labor and Commerce Committee down here, and we'll insert that along with everything else here. We're going to move right along. We're going to mark this bill up today, and we plan to move it out, so we're taking a lot of your comments on this as we go here, and we really appreciate your comments. If there's no further questions, I'd like to move right along. Thank you very much.
Okay, at this time, we'll go back to Bethel, and we have an additional witness in Bethel. Can you please step forward, give us a name and who they represent?
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Pangaya. First of all, I'd like to thank you for giving me an opportunity to express my opinions here. I think the House Bill number 165 is a very good bill, and I would like to give you my reasons in non-technical terms as the reason why I like the bill. First of all, this is 1981, and the villages out there now served by United Utilities do desperately need the residential phones. And the reason being that they have to have the free access of information sometimes on the spot. And they're equally concerned about the dispensation of information both ways. And I think the phone system for all the villages will definitely improve their business concerns out there, because I think the villages in our area have to have the free access of information. And I think the bill is an excellent bill. I am originally from Tunuanik, but I'm now living in Bethel, working here. I know how the village conditions are. If I was back in Tunuanik, I probably want everything else, satellite TV, phones, computers, and so forth, etc. And mind you, that pretty soon we're going to start talking about computers in the villages. We might, you might keep that in mind too. I just want to show that I like the bill 165. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. I'm glad to hear from you, Mr. Chairman. And, thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate coming and talking. Okay, we're going to, time is pushing us here because I want to try to limit this to about 15 more minutes if we can. I mean, we've got someone here also wants to testify. And so we'll take two more from the teleconference network, and then we'll take one here, and then we're going to mark this bill. We have to, some of us have to be in other committees at 3:00, and we'd like to move this bill out. So we'll move on to someone else.
Ackerman. This is Crossview. We have a person here waiting to testify.
Crossview, this is Moderator in Juneau, and I had Observer written down behind his name. That's why I didn't call you. I'm sorry. We will go to Anchorage to take the final witness in Anchorage, and then, or not the final witness, we'll take the Anchorage witness, and then the final witness on the teleconference will be the Kotzebue person, I think it's Chester Ballard, and then we have a witness here in Juneau. So, would Steve Hamlin from United Utilities Corporation in Anchorage please take the phone?
Thank you, Jack.
Good afternoon. I'm Steve Hamlin representing United Utilities. United Utilities has previously testified before the House Labor and Commerce Committee regarding House Bill 165. We have provided telephone service to 12 of the villages in the Chulista region on St. Lawrence Island. These villages have a total population of over 5,300 people. And we now have 1,000 telephones installed in these villages. The reception of telephone service has been outstanding. This is kind of indicated by the revenues that are being generated by 12 villages, which now exceed, this revenue now exceeds $80,000 a month. So there's definitely a need and a demand for telephone service in rural Alaska. We have over 30 other villages in the Yukon-Kuskokwim region that now only have a single phone. We've attempted, as explained earlier to the committee, to receive low-cost financing from the Rural Electrification Administration. We have a loan pending now that was submitted in June of 1979. It still has not been approved, and this loan would provide telephone service to 16 of the villages. The Reagan administration's budget cutbacks would eliminate this loan application that we have pending at the REA now. We strongly recommend that House Bill 165 be passed as soon as possible. We'd like to see the legislature approve it and provide us with that source of financing that we need to extend service to those villages that so desperately need it now. Are there any comments by any of the committee or any questions by any of the committee members regarding United Utilities and our program to bring telephone service to those villages?
Steve, this is Jack Fuller. You mentioned 5,300 people. Did that cover the 16 villages that you're talking about over?
No, it didn't. That's the first 12 telephone systems that we installed, and the total population of those villages is 5,300. Now, the other villages that we're looking at that only have a single phone, the population of all those villages in total exceeds 6,000 people.
Thank you very much.
6,000 people being served by approximately 30 telephones right now.
Okay, thank you. That was very good, Steve. Appreciate the comments, and we'll be moving right along.
We're going to move to Kotzebue now. We have Chester Ballard, I believe, from OTZ Phone Company. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Chester Ballard. I'm the manager of OTZ Telephone, and I support the committee substitute for House Bill number 165. To give you a little background information of the OTZ Telephone Cooperative, we operate 10 dial exchanges in Kotzebue Sound area of northwestern Alaska. These exchanges are in the villages of Ambler, Buckland, Deering, Kiana, Kivalina, Notak, Nervik, Selwyn, Shungnak, and Kotzebue, which is the old American city in 1981. After incorporation in 1975, the OTZ Cooperative acquired the existing telephone systems in Kotzebue, expanded and modified the outside plant, replaced the existing electromechanical central office equipment with a new analog electronic switch, providing all one-party service in 1978. We have the capability of having 900
one-party resident and business telephones here in Kotzebue. By the end of the year, telephone exchanges, end of the year 1978, telephone exchanges have been cut into service on all one-party bases in 8 of the 9 villages, and an operational system has been established. NOTAC was completed in 1979. Since that time, we've had a population growth in our service area. We've had the HUD and private enterprise building new resident houses in the area. The opportunity to own and maintain the satellite earth stations has come up. And also we have a need for a new headquarters facility to serve both present and future subscribers. I know you're pushed for time, so that's all I'll say for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments and to everybody out in the network there. And we're going to take a local witness here, Max Clements. And after that, we're going to mark up the bill here. Thank you very much. And you can go ahead and listen in if you'd like. Yeah, if you'd state your name for the record, flip on your little switch there. And we'll go right ahead. You have the floor.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure. We provide telephone service along the railroad between Anchorage and Indiana. I testified earlier on this bill, the need has been established with its own program, and we do support this bill. I have a couple of comments that I would like to make. We feel that the 90-day requirement in Section 410 is probably a little short. That in order to establish readability, it might take a little longer. That would be a pretty short meeting to get all programs approved. If you come a backlog or if it was a question on feasibility, that would be a pretty short time.
Yeah, let me start it right there. What would be a reasonable sanction? Could we put in there, you're talking top of the page of page 2, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could bring some language that would give an exception to that if for cause or something.
Yes, it would be great if they could all be processed in that length of time, but it appears to be pretty restrictive that they have to do it. Are rejected, and that might happen, and we just get thrown out because it wasn't at the time to establish the feasibility or to extend that.
Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you're talking about a new one. We do have a clause here that for those studies that are already in place with IAA may be used. Then also studies that have been done by evaluation by private financial institutions can also be used. That doesn't help you from when you begin a new study. Up in this section here, you feel you need more than 90 days.
I had no problem. I think that would be great, but I suspect that it would create difficulty in the ministry of this program if they had that 90 days for upfront limitations. There's several things. If they are going to establish feasibility, it has to be kept. And I think you all are looking for a program that, you know, the real word is maybe a feasibility project could be established before the loan is made. And my concern is the 90 days is short. It would be great if it could already be done. And as the chairman suggested, you know, the minor.
Yeah, something like maybe say within 90 days after receipt of the app, within 90 days after receipt of the application, or
Mr. My concern is that usually request for additional
Okay, we'll certainly see if we can print it out. Thank you, Verizon, with your comment.
Kenneth, may one thought on that, sir. This was hopeful to expedite the matter for you. If you don't feel that the power authorities will delay, I feel comfortable in opening the window for you. But the main idea was to expedite matters for the company.
Yes, and that's admirable. He was all right to see you. He's
So do you have suggested wording now?
I did not completely. I think all you need to do is insert something like that. After REA has established the feasibility of the project, and they do this form, they will notify the utility by letter that they have approved the feasibility project.
You caught me off guard. I told you before that it was in there, and then I realized in the one work place it was taken out. And I'd like to ask Mr. Chairman if you consider reinserting paragraph H of the criminal bill section 410, notwithstanding D of this section, if an application for a loan to a public telecommunication utility has been approved by a federal REA. Due to lack of money, exactly what the gentleman is saying, that we reinsert that paragraph.
What if we just use the word commitment instead of approval?
We'll give you a letter of commitment.
Yes, the
your comments are well taken, Max, and I appreciate them. I personally can't see where a loan could come into either, so I can see how it can be used, and I appreciate your comments. Is that all you have?
Yeah, I actually have one other item, if I could, real quick. And that is, if we did have a problem in this area, it might not, might be just a little bit more, but I have a suggestion to write it, that somebody might think about it, I think about it now, and that would be, the Public Service Commission does have a requirement, at least an established requirement, that says that all the buildings submit certain things along with the capital program to the commission. And there could be a limitation since that's already a part of the commission. Not necessarily would the commission have to approve any of these buildings if it would not be any of the funds advanced until they had been submitted to the commission in the capital budget. That's not a thing that I pressing that might be a compromise that we would.
Okay, thank you very much, Max. Okay, we're going to mark the bill up so we can get this thing out. And I think Terry Gardner has some limits.
Mr. Chairman, on page 1, line 29, bill. Change the words Alaska Power Authority to Alaska Industrial Development Authority. And that proposed amendment would include other changes that would have to follow as a result of change that. I think they'd have to change the statutory reference. So that way they could use their bonding capability and leverage the money. Such as we're doing with our other business loan programs, use the tax exempt bonds to make the money stretch further that way.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be open. I just want to, one of the complaints I had with AIBA is that a lot of currently established businesses say they cannot get loans from AIBA because they are to develop new businesses. Given direct competition to someone who might need upgrading and someone who wants to improve his business, whatever he's in,
but
yet he can't get a loan.
Yeah, but this is what this would do is put a separate fund under AIDA's authority, so this fund wouldn't be swept into the other funds but yet they would still have the ability to bond. There would have to be, there have to be a separate appropriation to fund.
Well, I've given up mine to Mr. Chairman, but as it is right now, I think that after the fact, if it's going to be voted for, we ought to really look into it and see what the charter of the AIDA, if it allowed them to do that. Because I wouldn't mind opening AIDA all its loans to help old business establish it and upgrade themselves rather than just developing new businesses. So I'm not going to object to that, just so we evaluate it.
Yeah, Perry, that is being explored right now.
Page two, there was a suggestion that the 90 days wasn't enough there, maybe in some circumstances or something other, line three and four. And possibly you could suggest the language that we add after the word application, and unless the applicant does not meet the requirements of the section. So, if the reason they can't make a decision on the loan is because people haven't turned in all the information, or they haven't, got their EPC approval or something else, that they don't have to be approved or denied, but if they had all their information, then they would be able to.
Max, does that sound about right?
It would read, unless the applicant does not meet the requirements of this section, in other words, meaning requiring all the conditions and loans. So if they had all their information in as required by the department under the statute regulations, then they would have to make a decision. But if they didn't, then this provision wouldn't be the same. Russ, do you have a question?
I have one gentleman thought, I suggested a condition similar to Barry's, and all I got is that
Anchorage
is having a hard time hearing all.
Yeah, that was just a suggestion. We'll bring it up.
Excuse me.
Oh, you hear me? Okay, let me read this. How did that read? One of the things is that they would obviously have to detail the requirements out in regulations. So probably actually should refer to the statutory citation, say, meet the requirements of AS 4483-410.
Okay.
But it won't be 4483. I would amend to read that. Unless the applicant does not meet the requirements of that AS 4483-410 or 4483.
Can you move amendment?
have another one on 9-10. There's a, did you read 9-10 on page 2? It says, to fund a public telecommunications utility to finance or refinance. I would suggest that we delete the or refinance, because looking at some of our other loan programs, if our idea is to get into new service and extension, a lot of money could be sucked up in refinancing of existing, especially if we're going to have a low interest rate. And so all the money might just be evaporated, and we'd still have this guy trying to put telephones into 30 new villages, and all the money's gone. So if I can have a limited amount of money. I think the rest of it's pretty broad.
The last one
adopted was, unless the applicant, on page 2, line 4, unless the applicant does not meet the requirements of AS 4483.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move another amendment on page 2, line 10, delete the words or refinance, and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections?
So moved.
Mr. Chairman, on page 3, line 5, after the word Public Utilities Commission, put a period, delete, or a semicolon, delete the language, or has applied for a certificate. I think that would simplify the whole thing. Then you'd just be simply required to have it before you could get approval of the loan.
Any objection to that amendment?
As unanimous consent.
Any objection? So moved.
Chairman, on page 3, line 26, moving after the word exceed, strike line 26, 27, 28, insert 5%. I'd ask for unanimous consent. I think that's consistent with what we're doing with on some of our other electrical energy stuff.
Any objection to that? So moved.
Chairman, on page 4, line 17, I delete the word approval and insert a commitment. Maybe a commitment. Let's see. Yeah, I'd insert a commitment for the words approval.
Commitment for approval.
Well, I think it, see, it says a commitment by the Federal Rural REA Administration of a long term loan. See that it says long term loan down here. Yeah.
Just a further explanation. What are we going to mean by a commitment?
So it means a commitment of a long-term loan. If you read it,
but not approval.
Well, a commitment.
That's what I'm saying. Usually, when you commit yourself to something, you're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that the gentleman made the distinctions. They make a commitment, they don't approve it.
Make more money.
Yeah, but the commitment is somewhat different, but I think a lot of that's maybe a used word. Remember in the Alpeco contract, you know, we were willing to go give away billions of dollars.
I wouldn't.
You didn't
know
the original Alpeco contract?
He wasn't here.
He wasn't here. Anyway, there. I think in the financial community, a commitment to finance means something.
Well, that sounds good. What do you think?
I'm sorry, I couldn't follow.
Well, what we're doing is taking out approval, putting a commitment, makes that a commitment by the federal rule.
Knowing what happens is, you receive this letter and it starts off with, this is not a commitment. that's what already comes back and says, this is not a commitment.
Well, what is it?
You know, they come out with what they call a loan characteristics letter.
or a permit.
Well, you're saying that what REA gives you is an approval for interim financing.
Yeah, they would do that. They approve the building and the design, but the, you know, economics and the technical engineering stuff that will come back to the review or the management discussion. And then if you want to get interim financing, you make you go back again. But then they always say that this is not the commitment.
Mr. Chairman, I would withdraw my amendment and move a different amendment. I'd leave in the word approval and insert after the word approval for interim financing. So it would read, the authority may accept an approval for interim financing by the Federal Rural Electrification Administration of a long-term loan. So it would read, and approval for interim financing.
I think that's the
topic of the month. And approval.
And approval for interim finance. Ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? So moved.
Chairman, on page 6, line 10, I changed, moved the effective date be changed to an immediate effective date. That's unanimous consent.
Any objection?
Let me talk to Terry about that.
Yeah, we're going to release that to be 27. Okay, we're back on the area. That for you, ma'am?
Yes.
Any objections? So moved.
Chairman, one more thing. I would suggest a letter of intent by the committee that it's the legislature's intention that the Alaska Industrial Development Authority in administering this revolving loan program give priority to those utilities which are going to use their loan proceeds to expand services to unserved areas. My staff might make that a little more eloquent. Yeah, a priority. So that in the case that if there's competition for funds, more applications for funds than there are funds available, priority would be given to those people that were expanding services to unserved areas. Ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? So moved. Okay, are there more?
Is there any more amendments? If there's no more amendments, Mr. Chairman, I would move the committee substitute with amendments out of the committee. House Bill 165.
A motion to remove the bill. Is there any objection? So moved. Well done. Thanks all for all the teleconference people for testifying, and I really appreciate the comments and